And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Lucy Potter. Today on the show, telenovelas.
And Sip Smith and Fever Tree.
All will be explained when we talk to Jesus and Joe.
So stay with us for the next hour, right here on Shout Out. Welcome to summer.
You're getting good at that.
What?
The crash recovery talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, it's been, what, five and a half years now doing this.
Was it not me and you, Lucy, that were on the last time you crashed it?
Yes, but I think we were sat in different positions. I was out shouting and you were presenting, just in case anybody wanted.
Can I please point out, it's not me that crashes the desk, okay? It just sometimes crashes.
You're sat there, you're in front of the desk, you're
never
fault.
Crashes when Steph's
it's like,
doing it.
It's brand new, lovely desk, but yeah, it's Steph really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Should we blame it on Steph?
No, Steph brings it back to life, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think she is the Zara whisperer. She's the radio whisperer.
Zara whisperer.
Yeah.
If you're listening at home, the automation software we have is called Zara, hence what we're talking about.
She just trips out those dulcet Bristolian tones and
careful. Wow. Careful, my dear.
And she's right back up, isn't she? you can say that in Bristolian stuff.
I like presenting with you two. It's always so much fun.
Well, so.
Now question for you, Lucy. What's your favourite gin and tonic? Or are you not a gin and tonic person at all?
Oh, I am a gin and tonic person. Yes, it's like happiness in a glass. Just solves all my problems.
But are you just like any gin and tonic? Or
No. I'm one of those poor, boring people who will bore you about gin.
So is the L word we're talking about here, but not lesbian, Lush. Is that
Lush.
What we're...
Oh, Lush.
Gert Lush, yeah. I quite like this gin called 6 o'clock gin, which very nice.
You know who works for them, don't you?
Who works for them?
Darren Carter.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah, who runs Pride.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like their gin. They're very nice. Yeah. But yeah,
I'd never tasted it until my birthday, and I got a little bit tipsy on the stuff thanks to Joe at the Palace.
Well, my girlfriend and I realised that we might be a bit of a stereotypical city, trendy, hipster, I won't say a rude word here, couple, when we realised we had three different types of gin at home. Yeah, we're one of those.
My favourite is Sip Smith.
That's very nice.
Sip Smith and Fever Tree Tonic, which is one of the few that's still made with real quinine as opposed to just flavouring.
Yeah, and that's really come along a lot in recent years, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's everywhere now.
And I found out that Sip Smith do one with... it's a type of tea in it. Not Earl Grey. What's the one that's... it is Earl Grey. Yeah, Earl Grey.
Oh, right.
In it that's a yellow one. And I didn't think they go to it. I've only smelt it. I haven't actually tasted it. And this is because I was there interviewing Joe the other day. So, and it does actually smell like it goes together. But it'd be interesting to try it when I'm actually out drinking.
That'll be good. So yeah, because Joe's place is opening up. There'll be two places on Old Market Street, because the Old Market Assembly Rooms has got quite a good gin selection as well.
Yeah.
So it's definitely taking off.
I have a funny feeling the Gin Palace is going to rival it quite significantly.
I think so, yeah. That's good, though. So that can only be good.
Have you been in the Assembly Rooms?
Yes, I have. I've eaten in there.
Yeah, it's nice.
It's lovely.
Lovely. Food.
Very nice.
Vegan baking as well.
Yeah, you can buy bread in there. So, but I have to admit, it's a little bit cheaper buying a gin and tonic in the Palace.
I'm sure.
We got coming up later. I went and spoke to Jo because, of course, she's now owns the place.
Right.
So it's gone from being like a mass owned venue to being a single proprietor, which is always nice. It becomes a unique place, and she's got lots of plans. She told me all about them, but I'll save them for later. So I just wondered, what's your favourite gin tonic? Or are you not a gin tonic person?
No, I'm not into gin at all.
No?
If I do go out and drink, it's usually a Bacardi and Coke.
Oh, okay.
Other white rums are available.
Still a spirit.
And I do drink dark rum in a hot chocolate in the evening in winter.
Cool.
That's good. I like spicy
rum. With those two answers, you need to listen to the interview with Joe later.
Okay.
Because there's a couple of things in there that make you go, "Ooh, I didn't know that." I bet you.
Okay.
So I won't spoil. I won't spoil anything. It's coming up later. But there is a lot of interesting things in there.
Gin-related facts.
Gin-related facts.
All related to alcohol. So we're very happy.
Yes. Yes. Apologies if you're under 18.
Sorry about this.
Yes. You will be able to try it when you are 18.
Yeah. When you turn 18, you'll know where to go.
And as always, please drink responsibly and not like me.
Or me. And don't become one of those couples that has more than one type of gin at home, otherwise your friends make fun of you.
Well, I always have like cheap stuff in case you just want one. In fact, that reminds me, I got in trouble the other week.
Bad. You got a cheap one for what? When you have your mates around?
No. You know, when you just like, I save the best stuff for special occasions type thing, you know,
really?
When I'm cooking like a 4-course meal for me and the boyfriend and friends and stuff.
Well, I have a bugbear about cheap gins. You go to some bars in Bristol, and I won't name them for fear of making them lose their business, but you'll go there and it'll be a trendy bar, lots of Bristolian bars are, and they'll have all these fancy gins behind the bar, and you'll say, I have a gin and tonic. And what they should do is ask you to specify what gin, you know, would you like Bombay Sapphire or Hendrix or whatever. And this has happened to me in two different locations, and I won't name them. Instead, they reach under the counter and they pull out a bottle of Beefeater, which is not the best gin in the world, and start sloshing that into my glass. And I've had to stop them on both occasions and say, whoa, you're marketing yourself as a fancy gin bar, but if you are prepared to try and pull one over on people who... Aren't paying much attention.
I think you find if you ask for a gin and tonic in the gin palace, you will get asked which gin you want, unless you are inebriated and perhaps shouldn't be having another one.
Mm. But I just think it shows a bit of a lack of respect to customers to do that, you know. Because if you were to ask for a beer, they would ask you what beer you wanted. So.
Well, I suppose it's better than giving you the most expensive one.
There is that too. But it's a much worse gin, and it doesn't taste as nice.
But then, if you know what you're talking about, you ask for it. You don't just say, oh, "Can I have a gin and tonic, please?" You say, can I have a Sipsmith and Fever Tree?
Then I
or is that just me saying
yeah, really now posh? You just sound really weird.
That's just showing off.
I'll have a Sipsmith and Fever Tree with a twist of lime, please.
Do you remember the other week we were talking about wines and someone said how much you spend a bottle? And I said, well, you know, when it's just me and Carl, it's usually about £8 a bottle.
Yeah, and then when you go around to somebody else's house, it's a fiver.
Well,
I think that was
someone,
me, I said that.
Someone posted up saying, is that all he spends on a bottle of wine? How cheap?
Pleb.
I've heard that before as well, that you're cheap.
I'm not cheap.
I have
spent like £20 on a bottle of wine before.
Oh. That's just boasting.
It's expensive if you like wine. Anyway, moving on. Shall we get some out shout?
Go on.
So, the lovely Steph, our pick of the events that are coming up in the next week or two. What are we doing this week, my love?
The first couple involved the Queen Shilling.
Oh?
They've got an app for rewards.
An app?
Natalia suggested...
Do you know how to use an app?
An app? Do I...
Steph's on her smartphone more often than I am.
I am on my smartphone right this second, and in fact, I have the iPad open as well. Other tablets are available.
Yes.
The Queen Shilling has an app available. Now, I don't think Natalie's going to get her wish, so you can actually order drinks at the bar and then go and collect them when you get the message to say they're ready. But it's available on the App Store and Google Play. And they're going to be launching that on Friday the 13th at a special party. Also, the Queen Shilling tonight is the opener of Drag Idol.
Yep.
And you're going to be there, Andy, judging with Darren Carter and a couple of others.
Oh, is it Darren I'm judging with, is it?
You are, with a couple of other people.
Cool.
So, what's this app? Do you know anything more about this app? Like, what it can do, what it'll allow you to do?
Well, you never know. If Paul's listening, it wouldn't surprise me if he gives Natalie her wish eventually.
There's not much information here, just saying that it's available now and there's going to be a launch. It's going to give weekly offers, discounts, regardless of how much you spend.
Good to know.
Mm.
Get down to the party, everyone, find out more about it.
Yes.
Okay.
And I've had this one passed on to me by your very good self, in fact.
No worries.
Lucy. Extra Pride is happening this Saturday. It's actually broadcast live on 106.8 and also Phonic FM.
I've not heard of that one.
No, I
Phonic FM.
Phonic. Yeah, and 106.8, which I assume is the university radio station. It's in its eighth year now. And they're promising bigger and brighter than ever before.
Oh, that's good, because last year they had a pretty good turnout, didn't they?
They did. It was well quite attended. Yeah. It's going to be very similar. There's going to be a... I didn't know whether this was happening last year, but there's a church service that's starting it off at the Matins service with a Pride focus. Will be at 9:30 at Church of St. Michael and All Angels in Dinham Road, and everyone is welcome.
Well, they certainly picked the right weekend for it with the weather, didn't
gorgeous,
they?
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a good way to kick off Pride season, isn't it?
It is. It's going to be a damn hot. Hotter than a snake's bum in a wagon rut. Events at Exeter Phoenix begin at 1.
I'm not going to say a thing.
It's going to be featuring workshops, drumming circle, family events, dedicated family zone, youth space, trans space, panel debate. There will, in fact, be something for everyone. Rougemont Gardens will again host the event. More than 30 local businesses, games, and absolute delicious array of food stalls are promised. And, of course, there's no Pride would ever go without an evening event. And that kicks off with local acts and bands. But you do need to purchase one of their wristbands and welcome packs to gain entry for the evening do. And remember, the day event is free, just like the Bristol one. But you do have to pay for the evening event. Their first ever Pride was in 2009.
Cool.
Yeah, it's coming on. Yeah, so hang on. There was one other Pride that I wanted to mention. We've mentioned this one before. And it's not coming. Oh, yeah, I got it. It's the Schools Pride that's taking place throughout the UK. Now, that's fast approaching now on the 20th of June.
Fast approaching. Also, just
Six
May.
Well, it is fast approaching. I don't know about your life. Mine's whizzing by.
You need to get these social events in the calendar, Andy. Otherwise, you know, you have a big social event.
I don't
event
go to school, so I'm not sure I could do school
true.
Pride.
Yeah,
I hate to tell you.
That'd be weird, wouldn't it? Hello, we've come for school pride. I'll stop
did
now.
You go to school?
I did go to school, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just you certainly couldn't mention the word gay when I was at school. Section 28 was still in force.
Well, we just mentioned snakes' bums. And we
No, you did.
Ofcom haven't shut us down.
Yet.
I was going to say the A word, but I've done that on H&H,
don't.
But I'm not sure whether...
We're a very clean show.
Yeah. We're not quite as edgy as H&H.
H&H, no. Yeah. You're a bit more sheltered, aren't you, being LGBT?
Yeah.
Anyway, is that it?
That's it.
Bye. Cool. Fab. Right, we're going to wash our mouth out. We'll be back in a minute.
Tamika, and you're
listening
to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Capital cities. And I spelt that wrong on the script. Look, one moonlight more.
It
should be 1 minute more.
That's a strange song.
Lovely summery song, that one.
I do like that.
Yeah, I do too. So.
Makes you think of sitting outside with a beer. Night's just starting.
Have you noticed there's a theme running through this show?
Sitting
What's
outside
that?
With a squash. Sitting outside with a bottle of pop.
Yes, it's because I spoke to Joe, you see, that's what it is. You'll find out later. So anyway, should we go to Mexico City first? Yeah?
Yeah. Bésame.
Bésame mucho. Well, I'm in Mexico City and I'm talking today to the screenwriter and activist Jesus Calzada. Jesus, welcome to Shout Out.
Thank you.
Jesus, you write soap operas and had a number of them screened here in Mexico.
Yes.
Can you just explain, they're a little different from what we call soap operas in the UK, aren't they?
Well, first of all, we call soap operas to your programs. Our programs are called telenovelas because the main difference is that telenovela have a definite ending, have an ending like a movie. It's like a 100-hour movie, while the soap operas can go on forever and ever and ever.
So it's kind of like a mini-series almost.
Yes.
But you're also a writer as well.
Yes.
And also you started out as an actor as well.
Yes, you have to start an actor if you want to become a writer, a TV writer especially, because you have to study for a dramaturgy. Dramaturgy, I don't know what the English correct word for it.
I guess that's like a drama school or something like that.
It's a drama school.
Yeah.
I studied in Paris, and it's a requisite to be before an actor if you can get to higher studies in drama.
So when did you actually start writing?
Well, some 30 years ago.
Wow. So you must have a lot of material under your belt now.
Yes, I do.
And does everything that you do or any of it get screened in other parts of the world apart from Mexico?
Well, I have written for Spain. There was a telenovela that's called SMS, which I was directing. The writers were Spanish, and I was their coordinator. They didn't know how to write a telenovela, so I had to be both coordinator and teacher to them.
So it was kind of like a new concept for Spain.
Yes. Yes, they excel at series, but they don't know how to make a story last over 10 hours.
So they called it the expert, which was you.
And the other was a novella of mine, what called El Secreto, The Secret.
Yeah.
And it won a prize. I am very proud of it.
Oh, fantastic. That won a prize in Europe, in Spain.
Yes, wow. Yes. The Inter Prize, which is given to the television in Spanish.
And you've also had some things screened in with Nickelodeon, haven't you, in the US too?
Yes, for Nickelodeon. They started a new channel for teenagers with one of my novellas. And the English title for it was Hollywood Heights.
Well, we'll get on to your activism in just a moment, but you're an out gay man yourself. Have you ever featured any LGBT characters in any of your series so far?
Not yet. That remains to be seen, because the audience in Mexico tends to be quite homophobic. So what the networks do is they mock the gay characters. Since I am an activist, I refuse. I don't want to write gay characters just to be mocked. I refuse. I rather not write any gay characters.
Because if you were to feature an LGBT
they
character,
would ridicule them.
They would have to be ridiculed.
Yes.
Otherwise, it wouldn't get screened.
Exactly. They even suppressed a gay kiss from a Latin novella that was filming in Argentina with Mexican production. And the scene of the kiss was completely obliterated from the network.
When it was shown in Mexico.
Yes, exactly.
Amazing. So are there very many out gay Mexican celebrity actors that are out on the scene and you know, out there sort of proclaiming LGBT rights, etc.?
Unfortunately, no.
Why is
that? This is a very Catholic country, so most of the people are afraid of even their gay shadow, not to say the reaction of the public. They imagine they will be banned. They imagine they will be forbidden to enter the networks. But in the networks, they are openly gay, so I don't get it. I do not get it.
So it's even more closeted than Hollywood was, I suppose.
Yes. Well, Hollywood has its share of closet gay stars.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, Ricky Martin is not the norm, but deception.
What about yourself? I mean, you know, when you came out, did you find friends, family, and the general public accepting at all? What was your coming out story?
I come from a very conservative family. My father was part of a Catholic parental group, and he was a constant church goer. Wow, it was very hard for me to come out, because my mother didn't dare to even oppose him, and he was like a patriarch. So I imagine he began to suspect that he had a gay son I would say I was 5 years old or so. And then I came out to him when I was 20 or 21. And it wasn't nice. His reaction wasn't nice at all. He stopped talking to me for 10 years.
So it took 10 years for him to even come around and talk to you.
Yes.
And you're in your 60s now.
Yes, 64.
But when going
I'm
back...
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and you're looking great on it, I must say. How active were you, or are you, you know, within the LGBT community here in Mexico City? Because you've taken part in Pride marches.
But... Yes. I began as an activist in Paris. I was a student, my master's degree in drama. And the first time I joined the Gay Pride Parade, that must have been 76 or 77. 76 it was. And then when I came back to Mexico after the master, my first gay parade was in 79. So it was a very long way to go in Mexico City. This is a very conservative country. Despite everything they say, Mexico is still very conservative.
But the city, the Mexico City itself now, you feel is a little bit of a sort of bubble?
Mexico City is like an island.
Yes.
And it even has islands within the island, like the Zona Rosa.
Which is where we are at the moment, isn't it?
Yes.
Where lots of little bars and cafes.
We're in the boundaries of Zona Rosa now. And you can walk hand in hand with your lover or your same-sex husband, whatever. But once you get out of the island, you are supposed to behave, whatever that means.
So you have to go back in the closet if you get a few blocks down.
Well,
the road.
I don't. I particularly don't. I refuse to comply with bigots. But most people will do it, unfortunately.
You were saying that during one parade you were wearing paper bags over your heads as a sort of
yes,
protest.
That was back in the 70s. The first parades we had paper bags, brown paper bags over our heads with two holes for the eyes. And the sign beneath, hanging from our neck, that read, let me recall, I am not ashamed, I am afraid.
Do you think the situation's changed much now? When you see the Gay Pride Parade go down La Reforma now?
It's a big festival. Yeah. Now it's a big festival, the Gay Pride Parade. The trouble is that the leftist parties are beginning to buy the activism, and so they are using the parade for their political purposes. I don't like that.
Almost hijacking the whole process,
That's it. They want voters. They want voters. So they will go to any extreme to get themselves voting.
So tell me now about the recently successful Supreme Court case for same-sex marriage in Mexico, because that's a remarkable achievement, isn't it,
yes,
for a Catholic country?
Yes, it is. And I must say it was due to two lesbian activists.
Right.
Because we had first a gay activist, a woman, Patria Jimenez. She didn't do anything to improve the situation. She just enjoyed being a deputy and have a seat at the Congress. But then we have two more. Unfortunately, the names escape me now.
Okay.
But they were very, very, very insistent on presenting first the Ley de Convivencia, Ley de Sociedades de Convivencia. That will be civil society law, that is, you can make testament on favor of your lover, you can have equal rights in front of the health system with a lover of your same sex. And this finally became the first civil rights to marry your same-sex lover on Mexico City.
So this was down to these two women?
Yes, down to these two women.
And then each state, it's happened in each state as well.
Well, the thing is that some other activists in Yucatan, which is very conservative, even more than the North, some activists in Guadalajara, in Mérida, and I guess Zacatecas too, began to present amparos, which is a legal objection to ask for your rights. Since we are a republic, they are supposed to respect the same laws all over the country.
Right, they should be universal.
Yes, so yes, exactly. So the fight began, and then it got to the Supreme Court of Justice in Mexico. And most to my astonishment, the Supreme Court, by unanimous vote...
Unanimous.
Yes.
So nothing like the 4-5
vote
we saw in the US.
It was unanimous.
Yeah.
To my shock and I'm still in awe.
I bet. Yeah, I can see from the expression on your face now.
That they voted equal rights for everyone.
So that is now law in Mexico.
Yes. Yes. And we beat the United States by about a week.
Yes. And with a unanimous vote. So interestingly, though, although, of course, you can now marry your same-sex partner here, do businesses or individuals still find a way of getting around discrimination law here? Can you still be fired from your job for being gay, for example?
Yes. As long as this is the land of Our Lady of Guadalupe, they will find excuses not to grant your rights.
So the Catholic Church still has a pretty strong grip on people's personal opinion.
A horrible paw over our civil rights. They refuse to lose a iota of their power in Mexico. And they will give you excuses. You are not qualified enough. You are not old enough, or you are not young enough, or you are not beautiful enough, or you are not enough.
Which is quite...
Any kind of excuses.
It's really interesting because you have other, you know, South American countries like Argentina.
Uh-huh.
Very Catholic. They have gay marriage there now, I believe.
But Argentinians have always felt themselves, considered themselves like Europeans.
European, okay. So my other example was going to be Ireland, of course, the Republic of Ireland, where, of course, they now have gay marriage. And it was also
very
Catholic.
Ireland is like Latin America.
Right, so yes, yeah. So
In a way.
But it's great news. So, uh-huh. I mean, you know, what do you see for the future? What would you like to see for the future of Mexico?
What I'd like to see in the future would be to cease the influence of the Mexican church.
Right.
The factual separation of church and state. That's what I love the most.
Now, at the moment, you have you've written some chronicles,
uh-huh.
and they are actually about LGBT people,
yes.
aren't they?
I began every week to write a different story about what was happening within the gay way of living in Mexico City. And I reflected it in these chronicles along with the impressions I had or the people I met. And it was like interviewing the city in a gay fashion.
And this went out in the 90s at midnight, obviously.
Yes,
so,
yes. It was very popular, the program. Yeah. But funny enough, it was more popular with straight people than with gay people.
Oh, that's very interesting.
Very interesting.
You got that feedback then?
Yes, we had about 60% straight people hearing the Medianoche in Babylonia, and the other 40 was gay people.
It sounds like a Mexican version, almost of Tales of the City, but true stories as opposed to fictional.
It's not fiction.
Absolutely.
It was the reality.
It sounds absolutely fascinating, Jesus. You know, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you.
And
a real insight.
Excuse my English, I am very rusty.
You know what? You did absolutely perfectly well. It's been fantastic talking to you.
You are so kind.
And hopefully, maybe when you visit the UK, maybe you can come and talk to us on the show.
This very year I will.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much, Jesus.
Thank you.
This is Ivan Jackson, ready for a margarita for Shout Out.
Hi, this is Helen Scott from the 3 Degrees, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
That's Galantis. And No Money, that track's called. So, apologies, we're being told it's a bit of an alcoholic show today. I've been mentioning margarita and us talking about gin and tonics. And
we are travelling the full range of... we haven't got onto cider yet, we'll do that next.
No.
Please drink responsibly.
Yes, do, please. Don't follow our
terrible
lead.
Example.
Don't use social media.
Anyway, Natalie and Terry are here, so let's
Hello.
Get some news headlines.
Of course.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 5th of May.
Grayson Perry, award-winning artist and advocate of travestism, is hosting a special television programme this week looking at masculinity in the 21st century. Grayson's programme has been heavily advertised in the press and will be broadcast at 10 o'clock this evening on Channel 4 Television.
The storm in a teacup, as it was described by some local gay campaigners, has rumbled on to election day in the pages of the Bristol Post newspaper, which is the only local media outlet to have really covered the refusal of one of the candidates for Bristol Mayor to attend a hustings at Woodlands Church, a small evangelical congregation in Clifton. The candidate in question had said that he had withdrawn from the debate to show solidarity with the LGBT community in view of the fact that one of the preachers at Woodlands had campaigned against equal marriage. However, others, including a parishioner of the church who writes in today's issue of the Bristol Post, suggest that it was more to do with electioneering and defended the record of the preacher in question in dealing with LGBT worshippers fairly and respectively. Gay activists have noted that the whole war of words could have been avoided given that marriage equality is a dead issue now. It's been enforced for several years and is not going anywhere soon. 13 candidates are standing for mayors in this year's election. A full list of them is available at the Bristol City Council website.
Queer Strike is a socialist feminist network of radical LGBTI activists based in the long-standing feminist centre Crossroads in Kentish Town, London. They have been in touch with their supporters, calling on them to join in a demonstration this Saturday outside the British Library. The demo is to close detention centres for immigrants and refugees. Queer Strike say, on Saturday 7th of May, simultaneous demonstrations across the UK and in several other countries have been held at 8 detention centres to demand their closure. 30,000 plus adults and children are imprisoned every year, often in an arbitrary and unlawful way and without a time limit. More information is available at most progressive and activist newswires and at the Hydra bookstore in central Bristol.
Melissa Rivers, daughter of the late comic Joan Rivers and a broadcaster in her own right, has donated a rainbow-coloured coat worn by Rivers to be auctioned off to raise money for an LGBT charity in the States. Melissa said that her mother would have been absolutely thrilled by the gesture because she was always a fierce defender of feminism, gay rights and individual liberty.
Sinn Féin, the radical Irish Republican political party, has said that it wants to influence politics in Northern Ireland to allow same-sex marriage. Sinn Féin, which is Irish Gaelic, meaning ourselves alone, is on the left of the political spectrum and is closely allied with a decentralised European socialism. The party has embraced the peace process in the last 20 years after backing the armed conflict previously. However, its MPs still do not take up their seats at the Westminster Parliament, instead preferring to take part at the Stalamont Assembly only, where the right-of-centre Democratic Unionist Party has blocked marriage equality using a veto arrangement. Northern Ireland remains the only part of the UK not to permit same-sex couples to marry, and this is largely due to the influence of Presbyterian forms of charismatic religion in the region.
And finally, it is rumoured online that the creator of Queer as Folk and the man largely responsible for the BBC's hugely successful relaunch of Doctor Who, the novelist and scriptwriter Russell T Davies, has been including a lesbian smooch in an adaptation of Shakespeare's A Midsummer Night's Dream. The acclaimed writer has been working on a film version of the Bard's classic for BBC television and has told reporters that he wants to reflect the modernity of British society.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Or Shout Out News, this has been Terry Starr
and Natalie.
Shout Out News,
national and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, this is Nikki French and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out,
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
This is what you came for. It's Shout Out. And that was Calvin Harris.
That is what I came for.
That's a banging track, that one.
No, I do. I like Calvin Harris.
So, I've got a really cool track coming up in a minute as well, which I didn't think I'd like because I'm not a huge fan of the group, but I really do like the track. I was boring Carl with it, playing it over and over again last night, trying to work out how long it was to put on the script.
But we're going to hear that later.
Yeah, we'll hear that in a minute.
Okay.
So,
all right.
But first, we're going to head over to our market because, of course, the Gin Palace, as it has gone back to its name, has been there for ages.
Yeah, it's a proper. The building is a proper institution, isn't it?
Well, from memory, it was built as the extension from where Temple Meads was supposed to end up.
Right.
Hence why, if you ever go in there, the floor is on a slope.
Yes.
It was going to go along where the train
You already
went.
Feel drunk and you haven't even had a drink.
But I believe it's been an importer of spirits in its life. It's been a hotel.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, now it is, I'd say gay bar. It's, you know, it's an open...
Yeah, you know, they're very friendly. Anyone's welcome.
And, and I know they'll be listening now. So if you're listening in the palace, hello, everyone. Joe is now running it. And I couldn't resist, but nab her for 5 minutes last night to find out what's going on. So have a listen to this.
Okay.
So there are many staples to Bristol's gay scene, one of which is in Old Market. Some people know it as the Palace. Other people know it as the Gin Palace. And it's recently changed hands. And I'm currently sat in its basement with the owner or proprietor. I'm not sure which it is. Probably both, I think, isn't it? Yeah. Joe. Welcome to Shout Out, first off.
Hiya.
Now, give us a little bit of the history, because you've gone back to its kind of original name of the Gin Palace, haven't you?
Yeah, I've taken it back to the Gin Palace basically because it's what a lot of people that were still using the palace were calling it. So to take it back means that I can then extend the range of drinks that we're doing within the pub. And I've also started to increase the range of gins. Currently, we've got 13 in stock. Alongside that, we're also increasing the range of accompaniments that go with the gin. So we now do cucumber, orange, ginger beer, ginger ale, fever tree.
There'll be lots of people with watering mouths now listening to this, weren't there? So, but I also noticed like the whole place just seems a lot brighter. Have you done something with the windows?
Yes, we've taken the vinyl off of the windows to open it up because at the end of the day, there's nothing to be ashamed of walking into any venue on Old Market. And personally, I felt that with the windows being covered, it was as though everyone was still trying to hide away.
So is it, I'm assuming it's still going to sell other drinks, but is gin, going back to the name, the Gin Palace, is gin going to become like, are you going to try and get a reputation for stocking good gins? Is that
yes,
the plan?
Yes, yeah, the plan is to increase the range quite significantly, although obviously it won't happen overnight. It's happening as and when I spot them. There are one or two that I know of that I want to try that I haven't found yet, one of which is a chocolate gin.
Chocolate gin,
but it comes from Hotel Chocolat.
Oh, right.
So, yeah.
I had no idea you could get chocolate gin.
Neither did I, till somebody mentioned it the other day, and then I started Googling it. But we also want to look at increasing the other range of the other spirits as well. I know, for example, that there's a Bacardi that's made with pineapple. There's a dragonberry Bacardi. So we're going to start looking at trying to increase the whole range of spirits rather than just the gin, but the gin primarily.
Right. What about the entertainment side? Because the Palace has always had a real reputation for things like its cabaret and its drag and that.
Cabaret
kind of
will be staying, possibly increasing. We're talking about that in some detail at the moment. We do have one or two acts that are exclusive to the Palace. One of them's going to be on a very well-known television show at the weekend, so only seen at the Palace.
Oh, excellent. And what about events coming up? I believe we've got at least the Bear Fiesta, haven't we? And obviously Pride.
We've got
planned for those?
Bear Fiesta is sorted. The Bear Fiesta this year is Bears at the Big Top, so we're going to be doing some circus-style events over that weekend. Hopefully turning the pub into a big top.
Sounds like you're going to have trapeze going on in the ceiling.
Not quite. Sword Swallowers, I think, is the one that we've picked. And a Diablo act.
Oh, fab.
Are the two acts for the Saturday night for Bear Fiesta. But then we've also got Swarm and Puppy Palace joining us on the Saturday afternoon and early evening.
Cool. And any plans yet for Pride, or is it too early to be asking those questions yet?
Pride cabaret acts are sorted. On the Friday night we've got Lavoir, and on the Saturday night we've got Danny Beard. But whether or not there'll be a few other surprises, well, there might be.
Yeah. Obviously you're fairly new to having taken over the Palace, but what's the kind of long term? Is there something particular you want to do with it that's going to change the way it is?
Where we're sat at the minute is where I want to open. Ideally, I'd like it open by the end of this year, but in all honesty, I'm probably looking at the beginning of next year, cost-wise. But yeah, I'd love to get the cellar downstairs open.
Gosh, made the place huge.
Yeah.
Well, listen, we've already said we're going to try and do something like a gin tasting with you at some point.
Yes.
But for myself and everyone at Shout Out, it's lovely to see the Palace not only surviving but thriving. And it looks like it's going to go a lot further under your
hands.
So best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And we'll make sure we keep up to date with you.
Yeah, brilliant.
Hi, I'm Heather Small, and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out podcast.
Little Mix and Love Me Like You. I thought you might like that one, Steph.
It's very upbeat, very uplifting.
Yeah. I really like it. I didn't think I'd like Little Mix, but
well, we were just saying it's just nice, unpretentious, happy pop music, isn't it?
Is this in the charts now?
If it isn't, it's only just fallen out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I mean, that was a dance remix of it. That was the Seventh Heaven.
That's the one I've been playing. Yeah, but I was playing that about 6 months ago. I think we were playing it three months before release.
I did actually play the original when it came out. I just I bought the dance mix and wanted it on the show tonight. I think the dance mix
is better.
I do too. Yeah, mm. yeah. But then I think that about dance mixes most songs. So and I thought Little Mix Cocktails. It was kind of fitting. You see what I did there?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's subtle.
Yeah.
I didn't get that.
It's only really good if you actually get it, I suppose, isn't
it? It's a nice way to top off a very alcoholic show.
Yes. Yes, but yes, I don't know if you were paying attention because we were also chatting about gin and stuff or the piece about Joe was going out, but chocolate gin.
Oh.
Mm.
Okay.
Chocolate got my attention.
They do Hotel Chocolat do chocolate gin puddles.
Yes. Joe said that she can actually get a bottle of it, so.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
So, and there were a few other ones there. There was a cucumber Bacardi, I think, or something she was talking about.
Oh, that sounds good. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's why I said to you on the show, you need to hear the... Because you were going on about... Yes. Cucumber in drinks is apparently the new thing, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, cucumber in gin is a thing.
Sliced or just basically jam it in there.
No, just scoop it out and just drink it like a boat.
Welcome back, Steph.
Cucumber gin.
So on from alcohol to phallic symbology.
No, we were talking about things that you have in your drinks.
Have you seen that meme which is on Facebook where a guy gets a melon and sort of cuts holes in it and puts lots of bottles of gin and rum and things and then lets it soak into the melon and then you serve up the melon and it's totally
it's a genuine thing that they do for parties in America.
Oh, that sounds good.
Watermelon is very common in America. It's a big party.
Well,
usually with some form of alcohol, isn't it?
Whilst we're on the topic of gins, I'd just like, you know, anybody who's got, you know, 2 minutes with Google search engine, a lot of fruit and some sugar and some gin, making your own flavoured gin is quite easy to do, actually. My parents make loads of different flavoured gins. They made a really good gooseberry one year.
But is it gin, though, if you do that?
Well, it's...
I thought gin
fruit was... Fruit-flavoured alcohol. I mean, it's rocket fuel is what it
is. Gin is... what's the berry for gin?
Slow.
No, that's slow gin.
Juniper,
yeah. And that's what gives gin its distinctive flavour.
It was just a step on from flavoured vodka. You remember...
Well, it was actually before
gin bars. There were vodka bars. That was the craze.
But
wasn't
gin actually came around because they were using tonic as a treatment for things like malaria because the quinine in it is medicinal.
And what is this was to? But they didn't like the taste of it.
So by mixing gin with it, actually tasted quite nice.
Take their medicine. They've turned it into booze.
Anyone been to Poland and been in the supermarket shopping over there?
No.
Yes.
You obviously have.
Yeah. Why? Rows. There's whole aisles, and we're talking of hypermarket size, like Auchan. Hypermarket size aisles, and there's nothing down those aisles except vodka.
Oh, well, that's not surprising. I would imagine it's the same in Russia, but the difference is I wouldn't go to Russia to find out, if I'm honest.
But where do you start? I mean, that's just too much choice.
Well, that's why you have places like the Gin Palace.
See, that's
you can
like
go
going
and
curate
try
it for
a few
you. Yeah.
In the States, they have aisles full of Pop-Tarts.
Did you notice at the end of that? I did drop in that, you know, we'll have to have a gin tasting with Joe.
No, I liked that. That's good. Are we going to host maybe host a show from there?
We might do. Actually, coming in a few weeks' time, we might have a little bit of an announcement for you of something that we might be doing later on in the year there. But I will keep that a secret for now. But I'll tell you guys off air. So, but yeah. Anyway, Hot Weekend coming up. It's great, isn't it?
Yeah,
Hot Weekend. Yeah. So stay tuned to BBC FM.
Drink some more gin and go to Exeter Pride. I think that's pretty much what we said.
Anyway, that's it for this week. But as always, all the details on the podcast of today's show will be on our website.
And you must know it by now, but if you don't, it's shoutoutradio.lgbt.
As always, we're live from 7 again next week here on BBC FM and repeated various stations across the country. But do join us then. For myself and the team, say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.